The annual meeting of China's legislature is underway in Beijing. There's a lot on the agenda at the National Party Congress, but much of it has been overshadowed by last week's news that senior Communist Party officials had abolished presidential term limits, allowing President Xi Jinping to hold on to power indefinitely. NPR's Anthony Kuhn has been following this story. He's based in Beijing. Anthony, welcome.
Thank you, Peter.
The National People's Congress is expected to take up this issue of term limits over the weekend. Is it essentially just a rubber stamp at this point?
Yes, in the sense that it basically never vetoes or rejects a law that the party and the government put before it. But the Chinese context is that the leaders of the country have to work very hard to make sure there are not a lot of no votes or abstentions. If there are, it's an embarrassment. But anyways, Sunday, they will vote on these constitutional amendments, which could essentially give President Xi Jinping the presidency for life. And as there's not much suspense. They are expected to pass. So in that sense, yes, it will be a bit of a rubber stamp.
Is there any dissent, though? And if there is, will it really ever be heard?
There is some dissent among liberal intellectuals. This is an issue that has really sort of dominated China for the past century. And it's only been a century, basically, since they got rid of the last dynasty and have been under what they say is a republic. And so they really feel that, you know, history has got to move in the direction of democracy and modernization. And when they feel it's moving backward, it's really a terrible feeling for people, and a lot of people are just outraged that it seems to be moving backwards.
Yeah.
But, you know, social media and the press here are very heavily censored.
Search terms have been banned throughout the course of all this.
That's right. All sorts of obscure jokes and references to this, like synonyms for ascending the throne and a meme involving Winnie the Pooh, which some people think looks a little bit like Xi Jinping, have been banned. So you don't see a lot of public dissent.
Now, obviously, as we've just been talking about, China is not a democracy. But we have seen across the globe populist candidates and parties emerge in places like the United States. We just saw it in Italy in that election over the weekend, in France. Have we seen anything like this at all? Any populist insurgency sort of bubbling under the surface in China?
I don't think we can say it's a populist insurgency. What's similar is that people like a sort of self-styled political strongman, and they feel that he's, getting more done than his predecessors, who were a bit ineffectual. But I don't think it's quite the revolt we saw before. There's also, you know, an element of an appeal to nationalism. Definitely there is an appeal to the idea of making China great again, by which they're referring to, you know, centuries ago when China was basically, in their opinion, at the center of the civilized world. So there is that.
Well, there are many other issues on the agenda at this conference, as we've mentioned. Talk about the economy, China's domestic debt, which is growing. I know that's going to be a topic of conversation.
Yes, they're very focused on reducing particularly local government debt, financial risks to the system. They've been cracking down on a lot of big enterprises that have been investing money in the U.S. And other places. They're afraid of, you know, financial meltdowns. They're afraid of capital flight. So tackling financial risk is a huge task. Corporate and local government debt are a very big part of it as well.
And they'll be talking about something else, pollution. I understand pollution has been falling in Beijing and other northern cities in China, according to Greenpeace. You live in Beijing. Have you noticed that?
Well, I've certainly been hacking and spluttering less. I mean, it's the best winter we've had in about a decade. And, you know, it's really interesting that this ties in very closely to the Trump administration's proposal to hit Chinese steel with tariffs. Well, the Chinese government actually wants to shut down a lot of steel factories precisely because they pollute so much. So they're just like lopping off millions of tons of steel production capacity. And so in that sense, the Trump tariffs will actually help them to close down some of these factories, because there's a glut of Chinese steel anyway. Everybody knows that.
But on the issue of the tariffs, Beijing's foreign minister said it would make a necessary response to President Trump's tariffs. Politically speaking, how is the threat of a trade war going over there?
Well, China cannot be seen to be weak or pushed around by the U.S., but they're not really making a huge issue out of it. And I think it is because it would help them. As I said, it partially is because they're trying to cut their own steel producing capacity. But also, you know, this issue has set the U.S. and the EU and the U.S. and its neighbors against each other. It's driven a wedge between them, and that helps China by keeping them from ganging up together against China.
All right. NPR's Beijing correspondent Anthony Kuhn. Anthony, thank you.
My pleasure.